All Things Are Possible, Part 12. And our foundational scriptures that we've been using, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said in relation to a boy being healed and delivered, and a father that had some doubt, and the disciples that were being faithless, you'll see that Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So regardless of the sickness or disease you may be facing today, if you can believe God's word that says to you, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, then you can be healed. Regardless if you hear the Lord saying that or not, and I gave you the example yesterday that the Lord, when he appeared to my grandmother, and told her that he was healing her, and she was dying of a terminal disease. She was dying of cancer. And God healed her and raised her up. And you know what he quoted to her? He quoted to her 1 Peter 2:24, by my stripes you have been healed. Amen. And that's in the written word. And you can believe a written word just like you can a spoken one. And the other foundational text, Mark chapter 10, verse 27, was said in relation to a financial situation. And Jesus said in verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And then in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, it was said to Mary, for with God nothing will be impossible. When she was to have a child without having a husband, you know, for her to get pregnant. She was going to get pregnant without a man. And the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary said, let it be unto me according to your word. She believed that word. But I'm here to tell you that you can believe the written word of God just like you can a spoken word. And we ended yesterday with looking at Luke chapter 16. And actually, it wasn't even on my notes. As a matter of fact, I'm going to add it now to my notes. Luke chapter 16. Look it up. Because in Luke chapter 16 is the story of the rich man, the wicked rich man, I should say, and the beggar Lazarus that at least knew how to believe God for his salvation. So he went to the place that everybody went to under before Jesus came, to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died, the wicked rich man died, and he was buried, and he went to hell or Hades. And the conversation follows there between Abraham and this wicked rich man that could see Abraham from hell over there in Abraham's bosom. And there was allowed a conversation here. And, you know, finally, this wicked rich man says to Abraham, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, he was saying, hey, they got the written word. They should be hearing that. They should be believing that. And the wicked rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Well, I'm telling you, folks, Jesus was raised from the dead. And there's been a lot of preaching and teaching going on in this planet and on this planet about Jesus. And still, multiplied millions don't believe on him, though he was raised from the dead. So you see, if they don't believe the written word, they're not going to believe though one rise from the dead. And I told you yesterday, and you can find it in the Gospels, where after Jesus was raised from the dead, I mean, they saw him die, and they saw him being buried, and then they saw him standing right there in front of him, being raised up, resurrected from the dead. And the Bible says, and some doubted. Are you kidding me? Some of you would think, you know, and I would even think, are you kidding me? How could they possibly doubt seeing him standing right before them, raised up in a resurrected body with the glory of God on him and the Bible says some doubt it. Well, let me give you another example from the Bible. You remember the children of Israel? They came out of Egypt. Oh, my. They came out of Egypt and all these miracles and signs and wonders. They came out of Egypt and came to Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, the glory of God and the fire of God hit Mount Sinai. And lightnings and thunderings and God came down on this place. Literally came down. When I say literally, in manifestation came down on this mount, and fire and smoke and all of that. And do you know that some people refuse to believe even then? Book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and 4, I'll tell you. Some were still disobedient and refused to believe and were rebellious. And they wouldn't mix with faith the word that they heard, it says. And I mean, they heard the voice of God thundering from Sinai, and they still didn't believe it. So you see, it's not true that you'd believe it if an angel came or if Jesus came. That's not, or even if the Father showed up and spoke his word to you. On one occasion, God did speak from heaven, and some people thought it thundered. Sometimes God may be speaking and you don't even hear it. You don't understand it. So what's the solution here? Believe the word. Believe the written word, because you can believe the written word just like you can a spoken word. Amen. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. And I'm going to keep on this track here, maybe for a day or so, or maybe more. But Matthew chapter 8 is an interesting chapter for many reasons. The many healings and the many miracles that take place there. And also chapter 9 is a powerful chapter as well. But I want you to see something here in Matthew chapter 8. This is the story in verse 5 of Jesus healing the centurion's servant. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, bless God, that's powerful. He said, I'll come and heal him. But you know what the centurion said? He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. And he goes on to explain why he believes that, because he's under authority and he has soldiers under him. And he says to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to his servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, verse 10, he marveled and said to those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. And then you go down here to verse 13, and Jesus said to him, go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. Remember what Mary said to that angel when he said, he spoke the word to her? He said, be it done unto me according to your word. Well, this centurion's great faith was that he was willing to believe a spoken word of command without any further proof. And you say, okay, I would do the same thing. Well, we've already seen that that's not necessarily the truth. Because we go on here to read, and in verse 16, notice what happens. When evening had come, they brought to him many that were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, there's a couple of things here. First of all, notice that they brought to him those that were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Everybody that came that day that were brought to him, he healed all of them. But he did it not just did he do it, but the people were healed, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, this is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. And notice that it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Well, have you ever thought about it? That God's word in the mouth of a prophet was spoken and then written down? Well, this is what this is saying. The fulfilling of a spoken word by the prophet. Well, what was it? He himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, the way this is written, it sounds like these people were also believing he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And I'm saying this to you because, you know, the centurion believed a spoken word, but here it's talking about the written word that was spoken by a prophet. Amen. Well, you can believe this word that is written because it has been spoken. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. Oh, let me look it up. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. And here is written these words at the bottom or the second part of the verse where Jehoshaphat is saying, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper. Well, there you have the two sides of it. Believing in God, because you remember it says all things are possible with God. Actually, this phrase, believe in the Lord, is very similar. Actually, it's identical to the phrase of have faith in God. Amen. Believe in the Lord, your God. Have faith in God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Now, what does a prophet do? Well, a prophet speaks the word of the Lord. And over there in the book of Matthew, see, he said, if you'll believe that, you're going to prosper. Well, if you believe the word concerning healing that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, then you'll be healed. Notice again how this was written. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. I want you to see this clearly. It says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So, it's a written word, but it was spoken first by the prophet Isaiah. And if we'll believe his prophets, then we'll prosper. If you'll look at the written word and believe it just like Jesus was standing right there speaking to you personally, then you're going to get some powerful results because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now, this truth is repeated a number of times in the Word. And I want to track it a little bit so that you can get a firm foundation on this in your spirit and understand that you can believe the written Word just like you can believe the spoken word. Look at Romans chapter 4, and this is talking about Abraham. And it says, you know, the last part of verse 16, well, let's just read verse 16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, or expectation, he believed in expectation, so that he became the father of many nations. Now watch this. According to what was spoken. Now you should underline that. Notice that verse 17 says, as it is written, and here it says, according to what was spoken. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God. Amen. Through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So now I want you to see here, it was written that I have made you the father of many nations. It was written, so shall your descendants be. But it was first a spoken word that then was written down. And what I want you to see from this is that both written and spoken, the word of God, carry the same weight and should be honored equally. But now let me say this to you. If there is ever a discrepancy, the written word is your foundation, is your basis. Now, I say that because I've known some people that had a vision or something, and supposedly some kind of angel or something said something to them, but it was so contrary to the Bible, and they believed the lie, because the word settles all disputes, settles all arguments, the written word I'm talking about. And yes, I believe that the Lord can come by his Spirit and give you a direction or an instruction, and you act on it, and when you do, great results come about it. But if a direction or an instruction is ever in violation to the word of God, then you better not act on it, because it wasn't God. Remember that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus said, My words are spirit. Amen. But he also said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, he said, your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of the word, or the spirit of truth. He'll always agree with the word. He'll never be in disagreement with God's word, and he will never lead you or guide you into a way that is contrary to Scripture. Now, this is important, folks, because people are being duped into believing things that God never said in his word, or that violate the spirit or the letter of the Scripture. And it can't. It has to agree. The spirit and the word always agree. Amen. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, and this is a very important portion of Scripture, because it'll say something here to you that will help you to remove all doubt. And this will be the last Scripture for today. We'll close with this. But here it says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we receive from God the Father, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, when did that happen? Do you remember? That happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus, his clothes became as bright as the sun, and his face began to shine like the sun, and light was everywhere, and a cloud of God's glory showed up, and all of that. And they heard the Lord say out of that cloud, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, you say, oh, wow, if I could have heard that. Wow, this is, we heard that on that holy mountain. They said, oh, if I could have been there. Well, listen what Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word that is more sure. Huh. One translation says, we have the prophetic word that is confirmed, or that is firmly grounded, or guaranteed, or valid, which you do well to heed as to a light that shines in a dark place. Now, what prophetic word is he talking about? Well, you're going to find out here that he's talking about the prophecy of Scripture. Amen. And he says, knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, again, you have the prophetic word that was uttered, but then you have the prophetic word that is written, the prophecy of Scripture. And you can believe that word. And actually, according to what Peter says, he says that's even stronger. That's even powerful, more powerful. That's even more valid. Amen. And as I said, both written and spoken word carry the same weight and should be honored equally. But if there's any variance, the written word has authority over anything that's spoken or said. That's what you use to check things out with. If there's ever a discrepancy, then the written word is primary. If there's ever any doubt, you go to the written word and you believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll come back with some more teaching on our next study.